He loved Magdala. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing there, he said to his mother, "Here is your son." Then he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." From that moment, the disciple took her into his household. May we take to heart this word from our Holy Scripture today. When I was 5 years old, my family packed up their household in Toronto. That's where I was born. Don't hold it against me. Packed up our household and moved about 2 hours east of Toronto to a little village called Selby, close to where my dad had been born and raised. And he bought a Shell gas station there and started a welding shop in this little village of Selby. That fall, in 1967, my mother died just a few weeks after my sixth birthday, and my dad then picked us up and took us back to live at my grandparents' farm, which was just about 15 minutes north of Selby to Roblin, Ontario, which is where I was raised until my dad remarried when I was 12. My dad, though, continued to go every day to this shop where he worked, which happened to be just across the road from the United Church in Selby and the manse where the minister and his wife lived. At the time, that was Reverend Wilson and Mrs. Wilson. I don't think I ever knew her first name. I'm six, right? Mrs. Wilson. And often to give my grandmother a break, who was 70 years old when we moved in with her, my dad would take myself or my brother, one of us, down to the shop with him so that it would give my grandmother a little break from these little kids. And we'd play while he worked in the shop, and pretty much everybody in this little village knew who we were, right? But I distinctly remember an event when I was about 7 or 8 years old in Selby, when I was at the shop with my dad. I don't know where my brother is. I didn't care at that age what he was doing. But I distinctly remember I'm out playing while my dad's working in the shop. And out, just outside the shop, between us and the manse, there was just a little road that sloped down. There was a little hill on it that we used to ride our bikes or run down or whatever. I remember running down this road and taking a header and just scraping on my stomach along the street, you know, like sliding into home plate. I'm just slide along the road. And of course, I get up and I'm screaming and I'm crying and I'm bleeding and there's little stones embedded in my stomach and whatever, and making a hullabaloo in the middle of the street. And Mrs. Wilson, the minister's wife, who is just such a lovely woman, came out to see what was going on. And when she found out, she hustled me back into the house and ran a bath for me and cleaned me up and fixed up my wounds and patched me up and returned me to my dad. My dad used to say that I could trip over a crack on the sidewalk, which happened to be true that day. Many times, Mrs. Wilson and other neighbors stepped into that mothering role in my life. The first mother I ever remember in my life is my grandmother. But there were others after my mother died who took over mothering me and my brother. Aunts, teachers, family friends, neighbors, they all looked out for us. In John's gospel today, we stand at the foot of the cross and watch a tender moment in an otherwise very painful scene. This place of agony, of final breaths, of unbearable loss that is taking place. And yet Jesus, hanging on the cross in the midst of his suffering, looks down and he sees his mother And he sees what the scripture tells us, his beloved disciple, which most historians believe to be John, who was the youngest of Jesus' disciples. And he looks on these two who he loves dearly, and he says to his mother, "Here is your son." And he says to John, "Here is your mother." And the story tells us from that hour on, John embraces Mary and takes her to his home as his mother. Now, for Jesus, this isn't about John physically taking care of Mary. That's not the case, because we know in Scripture there are other children. She has other children. What it is, though, is about redefining family. One that is not bound by blood, but by love, responsibility, and a chosen connection. Jesus has done this before, asking a crowd when his family came near, and people said, "Your family's here." And he said, "Who is my family? Who is my mother? Who are my brothers? Who are my sister?" There are all these people that have gathered together in love. In the kingdom of God, family are those we have a spiritual connection to. We often use the noun mother as a role that is assigned by biology. And don't get me wrong, that's really important. We have to honor those who brought us into the world. Of course, without them, we wouldn't be here. Yet Jesus shows us mother as a verb. To mother is to nurture, to feed, to protect, to guide, to hold space for another's life to flourish. Mary will mother John, and John will mother Mary. And neither of them will do it because of DNA. They will do it because they are knit together in love. Jesus has brought them together and nurtured something in both of them, and he knows the connection these two have. He's seen it. This is at the heart of our faith, that God's family is always bigger than we think. That the boundaries that we draw on earth, bloodlines and last names and legal ties, are not at all the boundaries that God draws. God's family is made up of those who choose to love and to care for each other. Think about the people who have mothered you. Maybe it was a teacher who stayed after class to help you believe in yourself to get ahead. Maybe it was a friend who sat with you in a time of grief or at the hospital or brought you food or just held your hand when no one else would or could. Maybe it was a neighbor who made sure you had a warm meal when life seemed to be falling apart. There are some in our lives who may never have been called mom, but they carried the heart of a mother. They saw you. They made space for you. They believed in you and your worth. And maybe you too have mothered someone without even realizing it, a young colleague that you took under wing and mentored, the child you encouraged at church, the friend you went and checked on when they were going through a hard time. It's kind of striking that this redefinition of family happens at the cross, the place where we see the old order breaking down and something new being born. A place where we recognize that people can be drawn together in love, even in the midst of suffering, and no matter our biological beginning. We are here today, we who sit in this room are here today because we have been drawn together through the bond of the cross, through the bond of love. At the cross, Jesus is saying, when the world falls apart, you will need each other. When the structures you relied on crumble, you need your chosen family. When grief threatens to undo you, you will need someone to mother you, and you will be needed to mother somebody else. It's not sentimental. It's a survival strategy for how the world has to work if we are going to love and thrive in this world. We are to care for each other as family. As children move away from their parents more and more and live all over the world, as families split over religion or politics or any other ideology, we still need to be cared for, mothered, nurtured, and formed. In this world, there are so many people who need mothering these days. The teenager who has been rejected by their family for who they are today, especially gay and trans kids. The refugee who has come into this country on their own or with just their family and need somebody because they've left their families behind. The elder who sits alone in a nursing home. The single parent who is holding everything together with the slightest of threads. The single person in our community who doesn't have many friends. All of these people and more need mothering. To follow Jesus is to hear him say to us and others in need, who need love and care, here is your mother, here is your son, here is your brother, your daughter, your sibling. It is to take these people into our lives, not as charity, but as family. I don't think that Mrs. Wilson gave it a thought when she offered to care for me. She never knew that her small acts of kindness were shaping my understanding of God. Every human being needs these kinds of nurturing people in their lives in order to be healthy and resilient and stable. Not every human being has them. While the social fabric of society seems to be threatened these days, we can be a mothering presence for others. It doesn't matter our gender. Doesn't matter our titles. People are desperately needed. People need to be mothered. I don't know where I'd be today without the surrogate mothers I've had in my life. Strong, nurtured, caring, confident people create strong, caring, compassionate world. We need more than our biological relatives in our lives to become good people. We are all stronger when we expand our image of family and our definition of mothers and become one for others. Let's take a moment for reflection.